Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter DeRaglia, joined by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Hey, Chris.
Walter, how are you today?
I am doing great, Chris. You?
I am doing fabulous. No, it is Wednesday, new comic book day, I should say. You know what? I was thinking about free comic book day earlier. We're going to talk about that later in the show.
Yeah, we'll get that later.
But I was thinking about it, and you know what? New comic book day, and you know, it's just a great day.
It is.
It really is. You know. So you know. Let's just get things started and Walt, talk about what's going on with New Comic Book Day.
It is Wednesday, and the sun is shining in southern Ontario.
It is. It is.
And even the Canpar driver was happy today. The sun was shining, and he was happy.
You know what? That's fantastic. The fact that he's the guy that's delivering the comic books.
That's right. He's like
happy.
Santa.
Yeah. It's, well, you know, we've often said that New Comic Book Day is often like Christmas, where you never know what you're going to get.
And yeah,
you
know,
unless you
look at the invoice.
Well, yeah, but don't do that.
But if you look at the invoice, Chris, sometimes you still don't know what you're going to get.
Well, yeah, because
screw up.
Well, and not only that, you know, so sometimes you see the titles of the books, but you get to see the artwork afterwards,
right.
And all of a sudden it's a fantastic feeling.
You're right. You know what? Today there is some. I mean, obviously there's tons of stuff coming out today.
Sure.
We're going to highlight. You know, the DC does those absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, absolutely.
Oh, I know. Yeah. You know what? My favorite ones of those are actually the Sandman series.
Yes.
Because they actually changed them for the Absolute editions. They recolored them.
Right, they changed
the original
coloring.
That was done in like the early 90s, late 80s,
mm-hmm.
For the Sandman series was done in this really kind of weird, sort of different kind of coloring. They were doing some experimental kind of stuff, and they've gone back and done new coloring on the Absolute series.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was against it because the Sandman series, believe it or not, Walt, is actually my favorite comic book series of all time.
No,
all 75 issues.
Wow,
all time. And I was a little against it, but you know what? Going back and looking at the Absolute series, it's phenomenal. Like, the coloring they've done on it is really, really great.
I mean, I can see you being against it. Here's something that this is now, you know, the best comic work done.
Yeah.
And somebody's changing it.
Exactly. That's right.
Right.
It really is. Yeah.
But
you
gave it a chance.
But I gave it a chance, and it's amazing. You know,
right.
And it really got it's phenomenal. And I haven't bought them myself,
mm-hmm.
but I've read them and I've looked at them only because I already own them all in hardcover already.
Right.
So
right.
You know, to go back and rebuy them, it's too much money for me.
Okay.
But anyways,
all of Chris's friends, if you're listening, when Christmas does come. You know what's going on.
Nice.
Absolute Green Lantern Rebirth.
Oh, very cool.
Is what hits
fans
today. So Green Lantern, of course, a lot of activity around Green Lantern now with the movie and with the Blackest Night, Brightest Day type of stuff. So I think DC timed this one very well.
Absolutely, yes.
Right.
And of course, just to reiterate what we've talked about in previous shows, in case you weren't too sure, Ryan Reynolds is playing Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern movie.
Yes. Yeah. Also from DC, issue number 11 of Power Girl. Power Girl number 11 is the stands today.
Oh, nice. I like that. Well, you know, I'm a bit of a Power Girl fan.
Just a bit. Yeah.
And in case anybody wants to go to Power Girl Online, you know, you're more than welcome to visit that website.
What's it called?
It's Power Girl Online. It's a website all about Power Girl. That I would have anything to do with it.
Right.
But if I did, you could visit Power Girl Online. It's not a .com. You have to Google it. But if you type that in, it'll be a...
You'll find it,
yeah.
Right, okay. And all of Chris's friends, if you're listening, Christmas is coming. And Power Girl is also a good gift for
Chris.
Nice,
okay. All right.
On Marvel's side, Siege, Spider-Man number 1 stands today. Of course, Siege doing great for Marvel.
Yeah.
Doing great.
Well, it's the new big thing for Marvel for Spider-Man, and it's been selling very well so far.
Yeah, you know what? It has.
Yeah.
And for a four-part miniseries, like a four-part main event, I guess it's all concentrated is what I'm trying to say. It's a four-part miniseries. And
why don't you say that again? How many parts is it again?
I think it's four. And thanks for pointing that out, Chris.
Sorry, Walt. All right. Sorry. Good story to get into.
Right, yeah, but boy, the tie-ins are coming fast and furious because they have to get them all in because it's only four parts.
Right. Right. Sorry, pardon all right. me. Yeah.
We'll leave that alone. Runaways, trade paperback volume 10, Rock Zombies, the digest is coming out today. Now, the Rock Zombies, first the hardcover came out, and then the soft cover came out.
Now the digest.
At our store, Runaways seems to, people love the digest the best.
Well, that digest format, that is the same kind of format as, it's close to, I don't think it's exactly the same, but it's close to the manga book size format. Mm-hmm. And of course, the manga book size format has quite an appeal to a certain demographic of age readers, primarily. And I think Runaways really fits into that age category.
That's a good point.
It's around that 14 to 18 year old mm-hmm. age, maybe even a bit 12, even somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think it's the 8 to 78 year age.
Well, you know, it really is. You know, Runaways is a great book.
You're right. It does have that.
It has that sort of that feel to it. Yeah. Of course, started by Brian K. Vaughan, who eventually went on to do episodes of Lost as well.
He wrote for Lost.
So you know what? Great writer, and of course, great writer, artist as well. So you know what? Please go and try Runaways. Really,
yeah, Runaways stuff. Is great. Some schools often come to our store and say, "Hey, you know, reluctant readers or whatever." And of the top 10 recommendations, obviously for young kids, Bone and stuff like that.
Sure,
but top 10 recommendations is Runaways Volume 1 Digest.
Yeah,
and the kids they try it and they're hooked, and the librarians and the teachers always call us back for the rest.
And you know what? I do have to say that. In today's day and age with the internet and HDTV and video games and Xbox and PlayStation and all that kind of stuff, anytime you can get a kid reading and expanding their mind is great. So you know what, whether it be in comic book format or in literary prose or whatever it happens to be, is a great thing. So you know what, Runaways all the way. Please go ahead and try it.
It's a runaway hit.
Please continue.
Okay. Chris, Fangoria, the magazine Fangoria, issue 293 hits the stands today. I've forgotten about Fangoria.
Well, you know what? Fangoria, that's one of those books that, you know, it's a magazine that comes out. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Fangoria magazine, it's a magazine devoted to horror movies primarily. And mainly about the special effects that go on and the gore and that kind of thing.
Yes, the makeup and
how it's all done and interviews with horror stars and that kind of thing.
Horror.
And it really is, it's been going on for forever now. I remember reading Fangoria magazine with the original Friday the 13th or Space Encounters like that.
Yep.
You know, and really it's a long-standing magazine.
It's definitely like a niche thing.
Totally niche
thing.
And there was a time period where I wanted to get involved in special effects and makeup and stuff like that, and I used to read that religiously.
Right.
And really it's a really great magazine for those of you who are interested in film and special effects, makeup and stuff like that.
Now, cool comic shops will carry it, so just check it out, and if they don't, tell them, hey,
what's going on? Yeah, absolutely.
Put it up on the new this week.
For sure.
All right. Chris, I'm going to just stop there with the new this week. But as always, that is just a small smattering of the stuff hitting the stands today. We encourage everybody to go out and browse the new this week and support their local comic shop that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. We are melting or diving or doing something.
Into our
industry news segment of the show. And I'm going to start with Kick-Ass.
Oh, the new movie coming out.
It came out
last Friday. And I don't know if you read any of the reviews. Now, of course, Roger Ebert did not have very many good things to say about it. However, in his own admission, he didn't get it. He didn't get the hype. He didn't understand what it was all about. He said it was too far removed from that culture, and he didn't understand it.
That's funny. Yeah, I think it's generational. I think it's that young, savvy group of viewers that are going to, like you say, get it.
Yeah, right?
They're going to get it. They're going to get the whole. I don't know whether to call it parody.
And this is the thing that he
fantasy
had,
heroes.
This is the thing that Roger Ebert had a problem with. Is that he didn't understand what it was supposed to be a satire of?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is it a satire of comic books? Is it a satire of youth? Mm-hmm. And I think with the original Mark Miller writing of the original comic book, it was meant to be a satire of everything, of you know, a little bit of play on the drama that goes in kids' lives,
coming of age,
of superheroes, of everything, right?
And I think of kids' immersion into pop culture, into the comic book
for sure, and I think that Roger Ebert just didn't quite get it. And I cut you off a long time ago.
Go ahead.
I think that it's being very well received.
Yeah.
You know, and as audiences.
And when I was surfing the net looking for reviews, there was a lot of positive, but they were kind of hipster websites, cool young websites.
Right.
And everybody loved it. Everybody thought it was, you know, kicked ass. That was, you know, one of the more commonly used ones. But it actually won the weekend, which is good.
Right.
Like in terms of, I know with movies, if, you know, you win the weekend, it's a prestigious thing for movies.
Sure,
and it can usually add to the, you know, number one movie in Canada, you know, and then you want to go see it, right?
For sure.
Well, why is it the number one movie in Canada? I'm going to go check it out.
If it's number one, I must go see it, right?
Yeah. And so that actually adds to the marketing appeal to the movie. And which is great to see, because obviously it's just from original comic book material,
right?
You know, put onto the screen.
Right.
All right. Other news from Marvel this time. They are redoing or relaunching a whole bunch of their X-Men titles.
Oh, okay. Right.
So, there's going to be a new X-Men one. There's going to be a Chris Claremont. And help me with the name. You know, the guy that writes the kind of soft porn stuff. Draws. And I know you'll know the name.
Chris. Right. Nice. Okay. Thank you very
Milo
much.
Milo
Manara.
Yeah.
Milo
there
Manara.
You go. You know, Milo Manara. They're collaborating on X-Women.
Whoa.
She's a lady.
Hey. Okay, hold on a second here. Now, I got to beep. Okay. I got to back up here for a second.
All right, George.
Okay, so are you telling me that the number one, I mean, in my eyes, the number one writer of X-Men of all time, Chris Claremont,
yes.
Right, who really revolutionized the entire
X-Men franchise. Back in the day.
Is contributing with Milo Manara, who is an Italian sort of erotic artist.
Yes.
He has all these
collaborating talents. Is the word I would use, actually.
Wow. What did I say?
Yes, and contributing.
Oh, right.
I'm sure he is.
Sorry.
But
Milo Manara is very well known for...
Of course,
He has produced graphic novels such as... there's one called Click. There's one called Indian Summer.
Yes.
There's a Click sequel. There's all kinds of really highly erotic sort of, of graphic novels that he has done. And he is a phenomenal illustrator.
I've seen some of his work.
His stuff is just
excellent.
Amazing.
Yes.
And he can draw women like... No tomorrow.
Like a choke.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like a choke. So, you know what? This is huge. The fact this is big for so many reasons. For the first reason is...
What's the first one?
Well, the first one is the fact that, you know, there's an X-Women book being coming out, right? Uh-huh. That's a big deal. The fact that they're focusing on the fact there's an X-Women book.
Right.
Second reason,
mm-hmm.
Chris Claremont is writing it.
Yes,
right? That's huge.
Yep.
Third reason, Milo Manara is drawing it.
Yes.
Fourth reason is that now we've got an international sort of like
flavor
to it.
Yeah.
We've got a coming of both European and North American artists and creators coming together. This is big, man.
It's
this is
be
huge.
Good. I mean, you know what the problem though with big is big in terms of in terms of connoisseurs,
right,
doesn't always equate to big in terms of sales, in terms of mass market, in terms of, you're absolutely right.
Because you know what? And the bottom line is, bottom line here is, unfortunately, if it doesn't appeal to that mass audience who want to see Logan displaying his claws in a snicket sort of way, and they don't really like it very much, then really the whole thing flops, right?
Right.
And that's what it comes down to.
Right. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. And help me out with this one, Christian. I know you know most of these creators, but there is a Victor Geschler and Paco Medina.
Oh, yeah, Paco Medina, yeah.
Funky Cold Medina.
a little bit different, yeah. Okay.
They're launching a new X-Men number one.
Very cool. Very, very great creators, and I think the new book will be very good.
Yeah, there's also Chris Claremont is also doing another New Mutants Forever series. Wolverine Weapon X will end with a new Wolverine number one coming in like September or October. So Marvel is really
they're really pushing the whole X-Men
franchise. Yeah, I think they're just relaunching the whole thing.
Well, remember, I don't know if you remember the they already did the Avengers Forever series,
yes,
which was I think it was either an 8 or a 10 issue miniseries years ago.
Yes, you're right.
And so now they're doing the X-Men thing. And, of course, Chris Claremont, of course, I guess you can obviously tell I'm a big fan of Chris Claremont.
Yeah.
Understandably so. Most of the canon of the X-Men franchise is based on his work, right?
You're absolutely right.
So how can I not be a fan of his?
No, you know what? We can argue.
Sure.
Historically speaking,
yeah,
we can argue that the mid-70s comics had waned.
Oh, absolutely.
Comics, you know.
Sure.
What happened in the late 60s with Marvel and the revolution of superheroes and with flaws and all that kind of stuff that's been talked about ad nauseum, what I mean? Like, that all waned by the mid-70s. And one could argue that X-Men 94, the launch of the new X-Men, really, because, at specialty shops, then specialty shops were taking over, and X-Men. Up until, the lunacy of the late 80s, early 90s with the Superman and all that stuff.
That's just ridiculous.
X-Men carried the day.
Well, okay, you know what's funny? As far as comic shops go, though, X-Men, X-Men as a title sucked.
Right.
Up until 94, really.
Right. It was all reprints from issue
67 until 93, and then issue 94, they relaunched it. However, I gotta say that in that time period, New Teen Titans from DC was also a huge hit at the time.
You are right.
The George Perez, Marv Wolfman
yes,
series.
You're right. Yes.
The New Teen Titans, which... was really a big, big hit at the time, and it was sort of touch and go as to who was number one, who was number two for between that and X-Men for a long time, and then all of a sudden somehow DC trying to kind of drop the ball a little bit, and then it became a big Marvel thing with X-Men.
Right.
But both of those series really there was a time when New Teen Titan was actually bigger and more popular than X-Men.
Right. So, Fair enough. Okay, then I guess my point would be that X-Men was a large part of the new...
But they actually
ended up, winning the day and they ended up carrying the industry for years.
You're not seeing New Teen Titans number one selling for thousands of dollars like you would for X-Men 94, right?
Right.
So
okay. What else, Chris? What we're going to talk about is... March's comic figures. I want to touch a bit on that. And sales figures for individual titles for March. Blackest Night number 8, which closed that miniseries or maxi series, whatever you want to call it, that was the largest selling comic in March.
Awesome.
135,000 copies shipping to specialty shops. And Siege number 3 was second at 113,000.
Okay, so hold on. Let's just back up for a second here. So you're saying that 135,000 copies of Blackest Night number 8 came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is just for comparison's sake.
Yes.
Do you remember back in 1990? and Spider-Man came out with Todd McFarlane.
Yes.
And how many millions of copies of that came out?
I know.
And like 7 million
well,
or something?
Well, it's the X-Men, I think, that was 7
that's
million.
That's right, that's right.
And Spider-Man, right. I think it was above a million or something.
It was above a million. The X-Men was above 7 million because there was like five different covers.
Something like that. 35 different ones.
Well, I think what's interesting is that since the mid-90s, we have seen, or early 90s, we have seen a drop in sales in comics.
Yes.
However, having said all that, the quality of comic books since then has risen way above.
You're right.
Our expectations.
You're absolutely right.
And I think based on the fact that, a few years ago, there was sort of a lull in comics, and they started to realize that comics really had to step up to the plate and start producing really high quality stuff. Otherwise, people won't buy it.
Yeah, and I'm going to say something about that. I want to add something that just came to mind is on a thing like Blackest Night. Okay, let's say we go back to what was that big DC, the Crisis of Multiple Somethings or something?
Well, the Crisis on Infinite Earths,
right, or whatever. Yeah,
Infinite,
or Marvel's
Infinite Crisis.
Yeah, no. Back in the 80s.
Oh, okay, and Crisis. Yeah.
And then Marvel had the Secret Wars, superhero.
DC
Secret.
Had Crisis on Infinite Earths, and Marvel had Marvel Super. Secret Wars.
Right. Okay. My point is this, is that those, back in those days, they had way more sales. They were probably in the I'm just estimating 500,000 to a million or whatever back then.
Right.
But they ended there. They were consumed as comic books.
Yes.
And then it was done.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, when you look at Blackest Night, 135, and I'm sure that might be the average for all eight issues, somewhere in around there.
Yeah.
But these days, the consumption doesn't end there. It seems that they're geared toward then the graphic novel, which the consumption continues.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people that are waiting for the graphic novel.
Sure,
And then post-graphic novel, it's like usually these things are turned into toy lines right away.
Yeah.
They're turned into DVDs maybe right away.
Absolutely,
like of an animated series. Movies right away. It's like I guess the company, like DC in this case, is saying, you know what, the sales, I mean, you know, they're strong relative to all the other sales, but if we had just had to rely on the 135,000 in sales, we would be in trouble.
Sure.
But now we have post-series of things
events
happening that are coming through that really weren't thought through in the 80s.
It
seemed to, the mindset was, let's produce the comics and, advertise.
Yes and no. I completely agree with what you're saying, with a few exceptions. Marvel Secret Wars did have a line of toys at the time. They had Marvel Superhero Secret Wars toys.
Right.
So they had like Captain America, Spider-Man, then a black Spider-Man, costume Spider-Man rather. So there were a few things. I think for the day and age, they were doing with what they could.
Mm-hmm.
However, now that things are progressing a little bit faster, they can produce more things. They can produce the graphic novels. So, yes, you're absolutely right in the fact that they don't have to rely on those things. But also, I do have to say that for years now, it's been sort of an underlying tone that, of course, DC is a subsidiary of the Time Warner, Warner Brothers sort of company, and it's been a long, maybe more of a long popular belief that DC is sort of a research and development product. Part and parcel of Time Warner.
Right.
So they kind of like, okay, well, let's see how well these characters do, and if they do well, we can make a movie out of it, right?
Or
so there's more to it. Whereas Marvel really never had that,
until recently, right?
You know? So, so yes, you're right, but the things were happening a little bit a few years ago, but not nearly as much as before.
Okay. All right.
I'm
just going to quickly round off. Those are the first two, obviously, Blackest Night and Siege. And then Green Lantern 52 came in at number 3, riding the Blackest Night wave. Batman and Robin 10 number 4.
Yep.
Green Lantern Corps at number 5, again, riding the Blackest Night wave. That is four of the five that are DC titles.
Now, okay, the last one you mentioned there, the Green Lantern one, the core.
Yeah.
How many issues are we talking about? Like, 50,000, 100,000?
76,000.
76,000. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's still pretty good. Because that's really
a secondary Green Lantern title.
Yeah, that's riding the coattails of a popular character.
Now, when a secondary Green Lantern title is selling more than, let's say, the Avengers titles or the X-Men titles or the Spider-Man titles.
Yeah.
That, I guess, is speaks volumes of the scope of this Blackest Night thing in the comic industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But which is the funny thing is those four of the top five are DC's. But if we look at I wanted to touch on I'm sorry, market share. Marvel actually still controls, 47% of the market in terms of market share, not dollar share, unit sales.
Yeah, right? And do we know what DC has?
They have just under 30, 29.9, really? Right? So Marvel is almost, almost. They're more than 1.5 times the number of unit sales that DC has. So obviously, what it tells you is that DC is strong up front, but they don't really have a good secondary lineup.
Right.
Whereas Marvel has a lot of, I would say from number 11 to number 40 is dominated by Marvel, right?
Well, the thing is, right now, DC is dominating because of Blackest Night.
Yes.
However, after that, you've got some great titles, but they don't have the numbers to prove it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part. Yeah. But all right, Chris,
we gotta keep going here. Well, we've got lots to talk about still. There's only 5 minutes left.
I know. Listen, there was a C2E2s going on. Went on last weekend, the big Chicago Con.
Right, right.
The Chicago Con.
You and I talked about going to it, but unfortunately, we didn't have time.
You chickened out, I think.
Yeah, as usual.
Anyway, Diamond had a poll to retailers there about moving New Comic Day back to Tuesday. Now, you're a veteran of the old comic stores.
Yeah.
Do you remember back on Tuesday New Comic Day? Or was that before your time?
That's actually before my time because I remember New Comic Book Day being Friday,
mm-hmm.
and then it was Thursday,
right?
And then now, of course, it's Wednesday.
Yes.
I didn't even know it was on a Tuesday.
Yes. Well, in the States, it was apparently for a while a Tuesday.
Oh, really?
And because I guess what comics are trying to do is they're trying to line up DVDs.
Yeah,
that's just
wrong. You know,
video games.
Yeah,
release day on all that stuff
is always Tuesdays.
Yes.
New movies for DVDs is always on Tuesdays, mm-hmm. and I think
CDs for music.
CDs, everything is always on Tuesdays.
Is on Tuesdays.
It's all on Tuesdays. Yes. You know what? I think it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
for comics and the rest of that media to be released on one day, because you do have a lot of people that would like to visit those stores, those particular stores, on those different days. So why are you forcing them to go from one store to the next all in one day? Why not spread it out over a couple days?
I know, but you know what may be a driving force for the comic industry is they're saying, disposable income, right?
Sure.
Like Buddy has $60 in his pocket or whatever, and he's going around to CDs and DVDs on the Tuesday, and he's only bringing $3 into the comic
Well, you know what? Then you know what?
Do it on Monday.
Do it on Friday.
Right.
Paychecks come out on Friday.
Right.
People know they have money. They can come in after work on Friday. They get paid, all kinds of money. Right. Seriously.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyways, anything else?
You know what?
But just before we go, get rid of industry news. Iron Man 2 is coming out and like May 7th.
You're right. Iron Man 2 is a big movie. It's coming out May 7th.
Coming out soon, and I'm super stoked about seeing this movie. It's the new Robert Downey Jr. kind of thing. Anyways,
we'll hit on Iron Man 2 next show as we come closer to the film. Chris, in the minute we have left, we have to plug Free Comic Book Day.
That's May 1st, is it?
May 1st, yes. Saturday, May 1st. We encourage everybody strongly to the point of almost threatening, I guess. But visit your local comic store Free Comic
Book Day. You know what? I realize we're running out of time here very quickly, but I got to say, you know what? What better way to get anybody interested in literary material than Free Comic Book Day? You can literally go into a comic book store and walk out with free comic books.
And not just any free comic books. These are new,
yeah,
specially written stories for that day, fresh material, yeah, material that they're trying their hardest to engage you with, so you know you're going to be entertained. This is an opportunity, and usually stores have events around it, so you might get some free food or some free coffee or some free cookies or something like
that. Something, or meet a creator or something.
Right, or meet a creator, meet an artist, get a sketch. So this is a great event, so do not miss Free Comic Book Day. www.freecomicbookday.com.
Okay.
Check it out.
You know what? Unfortunately, we're out of time as usual. Man. We really got to start stretching this show up to an hour. If you have any comments or questions or want to have this show become an hour long, please email us at mailbox@bigbcomics.com or chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca. Please go out, support your local comic book dealers. Have a great day and enjoy the Wednesday.
See you next week.
Okay, bye.